listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
March 27th. This is Deanna Spingola, and I'm broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs. And yes, they have updated the player at RBN, and you have to search around a bit to find out how to listen. But there are links there for you to do that. Anyway. I appreciate you joining me today at republicbroadcasting.org. I invite you to visit and subscribe to SpingolaSpeaks.net and ScreeningSandyHook.net. Click on blog at ScreeningSandyHook.net, and you will find articles on each of the 26 people, as well as links to all of their funerals, baby pictures, certificates, biography of each person, mortician reports, etc. Without knowledge, without research, people do not see reality the way that it is, but the way that they are. Truth is subjective. Individuals see issues the way that they are, or, as Dr. Joe Dispenza states, each time you learn something new, unique possibilities you were not previously aware of open up before you. And, as a result, you are changed. This is called knowledge. And knowledge causes you to no longer see things the way they are, but the way that you are. I have been extremely disappointed, even downright disgusted, by the people, including those I know, who have accepted the current asymptomatic COVID insanity. Many of whom have been so brainwashed that they have received experimental vaccines for a virus with a recovery rate of 99.5% and maybe higher. Our bodies are full of so-called viruses. Our bodies are also designed to protect us against harmful invaders. We have an immune system, which includes several glands, and our lymph system. Immunity is not a theory, it is a biological fact. One should read The Contagion Myth, Why Viruses Are Not the Cause of Disease. It was written by Dr. Thomas S. Cowan and Sally Fallon Morrell. I love reading everything that I have learned, including cake decorating and other tactile or tangible activities, have been through reading. Vaccines have always had toxic ingredients. But to receive a vaccine for an alleged virus that has not been isolated is sheer stupidity. To put this into context, I repeat, without knowledge, without research, People do not see reality the way that it is, but the way that they are. Many, if not most people, are obedience trained. They believe what authority figures say and are cognitively coaxed by the media. They are essentially programmed. COVID is not a virus. It is a propaganda program. Many people, including me, have accepted false narratives. I have known for a long time that we did not go to the moon. However, I belong to a 501c3 cult religion for most of my life until I studied the history, family associations, and current policies of that religion. Spirituality does not require a building or money changers, collectors. Following my research, I was no longer cognitively impaired. I saw the situation for what it was, not for who I had been for so long. Admittedly, I was probably all the issues like those described. So I must cut some slack for people who are cognitively impaired by the COVID operation directed by the government in collaboration with Big Pharma. There are people as well as media that people should avoid if they wish to remain healthy. Some of those people include rageaholics. Those are people who use anger to control others, many of whom are also narcissistic. People have to decide for themselves what will keep them healthy and stress-free. During the program, email questions or comments to Deanna@Spingola.email. Please visit our chat room at Spingola.chatango.com. View our past, current, and future lineup at Spingola.com, where you will find a schedule all the way back to October 23rd, 2010. Just visit Spingola.com. Click on the radio schedule button on the left. Choose the year and the month. My guest today is Dr. James Fetzer. His website is jamesfetzer.org. Jim, welcome to the program.
Oh, Deanna, I'm delighted to be here. Of course, we have certain differences about some of the subjects you're already addressing, and I think that it's interesting right off the bat because, as you know, my background is in the history and the philosophy of science. I spent 35 years offering courses in logic, critical thinking, and scientific reasoning. And one of the key distinctions that needs to be appreciated in relation to the philosophy of science and indeed the theory of knowledge generally is that between a confirmationist approach, where you look for evidence that confirms an hypothesis or a theory, and a falsificationist approach that looks for evidence that disconfirms or falsifies a theory. And while I greatly respect your take on, for example, Sandy Hook, where you were enumerating an evidential basis where you have an archive of it, my approach is to look for evidence indicating that things might be askew here, that they might not add up. And, you know, it's very, very interesting across the board where some of the evidence you might think would be determinative or definitive turns out not to be, just to offer a neutral historical example. I've done a huge amount of work on the assassination of JFK, and just for the audience background, all my work is collaborative. In other words, we're dealing here with some of the most complex and controversial events of recent American history. And therefore, what I do is to bring together the best experts to sort out the evidence, because distinguishing between the authentic evidence and the fabricated is utterly crucial. It turns out JFK, for example, if you took for granted that the official autopsy x-rays were authentic, then, since they don't show a blowout at the back of the head, you might infer or conclude that's because there was no blowout at the back of the head. In fact, the Warren Commission, the Warren staff, used the x-rays that showed no blowout at the back of the head to discount eyewitness testimony, not only from Dealey Plaza, where we had multiple witnesses observing or reporting having observed the blowout of JFK's brains out the back of his head, where the officer riding to the left rear, for example, Bobby Hargis, said he was hit so hard by the debris he thought he initially had been shot, where Beverly Oliver, who was on the opposite side filming toward the grassy knoll, you know, reported watching his brains blown out the back of his head, where one of Abraham Zapruder's colleagues said that when he first saw the Zapruder film, that he was stunned by how Jack's brains were blown out to the back of his head, which raises, you know, and we had physicians too, Deanna, you know, reporting that at Parkland and even at Bethesda. I could expand, but the point I'm coming to is this. We discovered, actually it was the brilliant work of David W. Mantic, MD, PhD. David has a PhD in physics from Wisconsin and MD from Michigan, who went into the National Archives with the permission of the Kennedy family to study the autopsy x-rays. This was in late 1992, in the wake of the release of Oliver Stone's magisterial film JFK, and David applied a technique he knew of from physics called optical densitometry to the study of the x-rays, where optical densitometry enables you to estimate the relative density of the objects whose exposure to radiation created the image. And he defined an area he called area P for patch that represented like a cashew on its side, a massive blowout at the back of the head. If you assume that Jack's skull was not simply solid bone. In other words, the only way this could have been a naturally occurring phenomenon had Jack's skull been nothing but solid bone, meaning they'd actually patched it. When I did my own study of the Zapruder film, it occurred to me they'd spent so much time focusing on the frames around where he appears to be hit in 313 to black out this blowout that the witnesses reported that they might have overlooked it would be visible in later frames. And Deanna, I found you can see it in frame 374. So when you juxtapose David's area P with what you can see in frame 374, where Jackie's starting to climb out the back of the limousine after a big chunk of Jack's skull and brains, by the way, that was on the trunk, you can see the blowout, and it's a very close approximation, except Jack's hair overlaps slightly, so it's not identical with what you see on the x-ray. My point being that it's indispensable in doing research that we sort out the authentic evidence from that which is not.
Oh, I totally agree with you. And I've looked at that film. I read Final Judgment. I've interviewed people about the assassination. I've also seen the pictures of people who were at the scene, who were by the school depository. And it's just very interesting the way that government operation was put into place. And I do believe that it was a government operation. And I believe that there were people that were behind it to keep JFK from doing something that he was intent on doing. It's just all very interesting. And as I said, I have interviewed numerous people about that, and I think that we all remember where we were, and whether people were Democrat or Republican, I think that everybody felt a great loss that day, and it was a pretty tragic thing for the country. I think that it was a public assassination that warned other presidents, and he certainly wasn't the first president to be assassinated, but it was certainly a public assassination to warn other presidents that they had better do what they're told to do, or else. Would you agree with that?
Oh, sure, absolutely. And, of course, it was indispensable to the official narrative of three and only three shots having been fired from behind, specifically from the 6th-floor window of the Dallas School Book Depository building, that there have been no shots fired from in front. So when you got JFK's brains blown out the back of the head, you're going to have to deal with it some way to conceal that the evidence, the actual bona fide real evidence based upon the real x-rays of the real victim in this case, is inconsistent with the official narrative dictating the necessity to fabricate evidence. And we found that again in the 9/11 commission. And, I mean, it's just preposterous. We're told that there were 19 Islamic terrorists who commandeered four commercial carriers and attacked, the Pentagon, the North Tower, the South Tower, and another crashed in Pennsylvania in Shanksville. But when you go out and look at the evidence there, there are no signs of any plane having crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. There's no evidence of a plane having hit the Pentagon. And what we see of a plane in New York, particularly the videos where you have some 52 of Flight 175 hitting the South Tower, it turns out that the plane is flying faster than would be aerodynamically possible for a 767 at that altitude, and that when it impacts with the building, there's no collision. It just effortlessly entered the building. In fact, we've done a study of the frame rate, and that plane passes its entire length through air in the same number of frames it passes its entire length into this massive building, which makes no sense whatsoever from the point of view of physics, unless a colossal 500,000-ton steel and concrete building provides no more resistance to the trajectory of an aircraft in flight than air, which means, again, as with the JFK x-rays, we are being played. I mean, the government has gone out of its way to bamboozle us, Deanna.
And I know you're
very good at sorting these things out. And my general impression of the contributions you've been making is very favorable.
Well, we also need to look at some of the people who were reporting this, that Dan Rather, was the same person that reported on the JFK assassination. And then he was the same guy that was repeatedly saying, at 9/11 during the day, saying, oh, this looks just like a controlled demolition. And certainly he was rewarded. He was brought from Texas and rewarded with a national position. And so when you look at the news media and see how they direct things and how they brainwash the public, much the same as they are doing currently with the COVID situation. We have a mutual friend, Dave Gahari, who hasn't watched TV for, 30 years? And I haven't watched it for a year, but I have friends who watch it. Oh my gosh, We're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back. Stay.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony.
Alrighty, welcome back. Our guest today is Dr. James Fetzer. His website is jamesfetzer.org. And we were talking about, brainwashing. We were talking about the JFK assassination and some of the similarities with 9/11 and the fact that that people were brainwashed by people who possibly worked for the CIA, because we have indications early on that that many of the broadcasters employed by every network they collaborate with the government. And so what we're being told is what the government wants us to believe. And when you think about the situation with the JFK assassination and how Jack Ruby Rubenstein just happened to have access so that he could kill the purported gunman. And then he later developed cancer, which also makes one, or at least some people, think of some of the other people who were going to divulge information about government operations, how they died, were thrown out of windows, mysteriously killed, like Vince Foster. We're living in a world that most people don't really question, because so many people get all of their news, quote unquote, they're being brainwashed by the media. Would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. Yes, yes, yes. The Operation Mockingbird appears to have been initiated in the 1950s and was so successful that by 1975, William Colby, then the director of the CIA, testified to Congress that the agency owned everyone of any significance in the media, where his testimony was followed up by Carl Bernstein publishing in Rolling Stone an article entitled "The CIA and the Media," 1977. Right. Yeah, where he explained that the highest officials had been boasting that their greatest successes had been with Time Life, the New York Times, and CBS. And of course, as you know, Deanna, if you had control of CBS, Time Life, and the New York Times in that era, you had a lock on the dissemination of news throughout the United States.
Well, if you're talking about the New York Times, and if you go back into their history, the New York Times has always been owned by a certain group of people who designed what we were supposed to believe. And in conjunction with Colby, we know that he was going to spill the beans on something, someone, and he all of a sudden, he drowned. Gosh, what a coincidence.
Yes, a kayaking accident, we're told, but it's ridiculous. You're completely right. You raise the point about Dan Rather, who turns out to be a particularly interesting example here, because on 9/11, when he was reporting live with regard to Building 7, Dan Rather was accurately observing, this looks just like one of those controlled demolitions we see in Las Vegas when they take down those casinos and resorts. And he was, of course, 100% spot on. That's exactly what was going on. Now, many questioned his reporting about JFK, because after having claimed to have watched this Zapruder film in Dallas, where it was developed there at Kodak, he went on the air and said that JFK fell forward after right. having been hit in the back of the head. And of course, Deanna, anyone who looks at the extant version of the Zapruder film sees he's actually going back and to the left with a considerable violence. So actually, it turns out that was all because of an artifact, and that Dan Rather actually was at least partially correct, because after the driver, William Greer, pulled the limousine to the left and to a halt to make sure Jack would be killed, he was hit in the back of the head, a shot fired from the Dal Tex. He slumped forward. Jackie eased him back up, was looking him right in the face when he was hit in the right temple by a bullet that blew up the back of his head, and then, Deanna, he slumped to the left. This is when Jackie was climbing up to go after that chunk of his skull. What they did in the Zapruder film was to merge the two shots so that all you have left of the slumping forward after being hit in the back of the head is framed, the difference between frame 312 and 313, and then they took out too many frames, and they made it almost look, you know, violent, back and to the left. I mean, it's emphasized again and again, say by, you know, Kevin Costner playing Jim Garrison in the film JFK. A break.
Right. Yes, a break. We'll be right back.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
Our guest today is Dr. James Fetzer. His website is jamesfetzer.org. And we were talking about the JFK assassination. We were talking about the media, who's in control of the media, and how long they've been in control of the media. Fascinating discussion. We have a lot of commonality, including where we were both in the Marine Corps.
Yeah, very good. Semper Fi. I'm impressed. That's very nice. Yeah, I had 4 years in the Marine Corps. I was commissioned, second lieutenant upon graduation from Princeton, and then, served 4 years, including 13 months in the Far East after I was trained as an artillery officer at the U.S. Army Artillery and Missile School in Fort Lawton, Oklahoma. Then when I returned 13 months in the Far East, it was just training ops. I was never in country, as it said, in Vietnam, but two tours in Japan, you know, ops in Formosa and Korea. We were based on Okinawa, R&R in the Philippines. I returned to the recruit depot in San Diego, where I was a series commander with 15 DIs and 300 recruits under my command going through the training cycle. And that was as a first lieutenant. And then they moved me up to the regimental headquarters to reorganize the curriculum so that instead of training 8,000 Marines in 11 weeks, we could train 11,000 Marines in 8 weeks using the same facilities. And I was promoted to captain before I resigned my commission to enter graduate school in the history and the philosophy of science at Indiana University, including a year of graduate study at Columbia, where then I embarked upon a 35-year career in higher education beginning in 1970. And since my retirement, I've been doing this collaborative research, such as we're discussing here today, about the most complex and controversial events of recent American history.
Right. Now, were you ever at Camp Lejeune?
I was not at Camp Lejeune. No. Pendleton, of course. We had our, you know, marksmanship training at Ensign
right.
Range Pendleton. I went through Quantico, of course. All Marine Corps officers go through infantry officer training Quantico. But I was never at Lejeune.
Okay. Do you speak a foreign language or know anyone who does?
Oh, I do not. You know, I do my best with English. Of course, I know plenty of people who do speak even multiple languages, but that's not one of my areas of strength.
You know, I was watching one of the films that you did talking about George Floyd. And it turns out that his family got $27 million for his death. Is that, this is not relevant to what we're talking about, but it was just something that I thought, my gosh, $27 million, and look at all of the violence that has occurred because of this, and yet I don't believe that they've ever covered, that lawsuit and the result of that lawsuit in the mainstream media.
Well, of course, you're correct about this massive award, which in my judgment is hush money. It's a payoff. I have taken a good look at the George Floyd, as you know, and it turns out while we have video of his arrest, he was, wow, really unhappy about being brought out of the car. He was handcuffed behind his back. This is a very large man. He was put in the back of the squad car. Now, normally, as you know, Deanna, that would be the occasion to take him to the precinct to have him just one shot and book him, right? Right?
Right.
But they didn't do that, Deanna. They claim they took him out on the other side. We do not have any video of him being taken out on the other side.
Who videoed this thing? That's what I kept saying. Okay, who created this video of the event?
Right. Well, it actually appears to have been done in two or three takes, actually, which is rather fascinating by itself. But when you have this officer Chauvin kneeling on the neck, there are a couple of oddities here. George Floyd had hair on his head when he was put in the squad car, but the neck he's kneeling on is from a party that's completely bald. He was handcuffed behind his back, but now you can see his hands are in front of his chest. And get this, Deanna, we have a video of him being lifted up to be put on a gurney, and guess what? He has no legs. At that point, you begin to realize there's a deception going on here. They appear to have used a Sigma 7 African-American windpipe training dummy. This is a medical device that, you know, looks like a black man, at least the upper portion of a black man, that this was a complete hoax. And it's just outrageous. So I believe we're talking about a big payoff to the family to keep quiet about the fact, because after all, as you have observed, this launched the summer of violence, of all of the looting, all of the arson, all of the trashing of our three major cities minimally, you know, Minneapolis, but also Portland, but also Seattle. And the Democrats were encouraging it, Deanna. I mean, how outrageous. You got Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters, and you want to say we need more of this, more of this. And then they were going on about promoting this, absurd campaign platform of defunding the police, and which there's probably never been a dumber position to adopt by a political party in the history of the United States. But the fact is, it upended American culture. Americans now know they can't count on the police. They are having to arm themselves. And in fact, sales of weapons have been skyrocketing, which I happen to endorse 100%, Deanna. Because look, if you cannot defend yourself, you're going to be a total victim. It's just like the Democrats have created all these gun-free zones in all the cities and areas they control, and it just gives the bad guys open fire, you know, free fire on anyone, because they know that the civilians in the area can't be packing because it's against the law. And the civilians, of course, they find this very amusing, obey the law, whereas, of course, they themselves are criminals. No. And what makes them criminals? I mean, Deanna, have you ever heard of such stupid policies? One of my research colleagues, Dr. Eowyn, who runs this Fellowship of the Mind's website, had the genius to superimpose the 2016 electoral map over the 2014 murder distribution map. And there was a remarkable correspondence that all the areas where the murder rate was the highest were controlled by the Democrats with their gun-free zones. I mean, this is just the ultimate in stupidity.
Well, it was also happened to be where there was a branch of the Federal Reserve. And so it's when you look at the areas and figure out what else was there, and then who came in and bought up land around in those areas, because of course people didn't. It was cheap land. Who wanted to live? Who wanted to be where there was a lot of violence? So when you look at all the aspects of what occurred, you have to look deeper to find out who benefited. That's always the question that you have to ask. Who benefited from what occurred?
Yes, yes, you're 100% correct. Now, if we return to Dan Rather, you know, it's very, in the Zapruder film, for example, because when they saw the public finally had access in 1975, Robert Groden releases a Zapruder film on a Geraldo show at the time, when Geraldo was still doing something worthwhile before he went legit and became meaningless and a mere cipher. When he followed the OJ case, for example, it was absolutely riveting. I watched every episode of that. I watched all the trial. I followed that with great detail, and I recorded it, Deanna, so that later, my wife and my daughter, if they thought I was misbehaving, threatened to tape over my OJ tapes. That was their control over me. But you look at the Zapruder and you say, well, how could Dan Rather think the guy fell forward? Well, actually, in the original, he does. He slumps forward. And it's because we're looking at an edited version of the film.
Right.
They cut out. Go ahead.
Right, right. And you bring up another something else, too, that the O.J. Simpson case. My gosh, it was open and shut to me. It was just such a stage play. And when you think of the people, the lawyers that were involved in that, and the, if the glove doesn't fit, you cannot convict. Well, of course the glove was shrunk, and it was just such a play. Oh gosh.
Yeah, you're spot on. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. But the technique they used was so brazen right there in front of the public. They said, to preserve the integrity of the evidence, O.J. had to put on latex and gloves.
Right, well, of course nothing.
Right.
Gosh, hello, people.
The leather gloves were skin-tight fit to begin with, Deanna, so
right.
Yes. Putting on the latex guaranteed they wouldn't fit. If you took out the latex, it would have been a perfect fit. It was a brilliant ploy, both legally and politically. It was a brilliant ploy.
Right, and I read the book associated with that, written by the opposing counsel, the district attorney at the time, and even getting
Marcia,
back to
Marcia Clark.
I read her book.
Yeah.
And then getting back to the JFK assassination, I read Garrison's book. So I'm a reader. My library, and I know your library is vast. I know you had to shrink it down when you moved. Oh gosh. My library is really big, and I've gotten rid of a lot of books. I indicated that I used to belong to a 501c3 corporate religion, and then I found out that for most of my life that it was a terrible thing a terrible cult that I was associated with. But you see things as you see them, not as they really are, but when you look at something and delve into it and do some research, you think, oh my gosh, what am I doing here? So I've gotten rid of a lot of those books because I had a big library, and some of the people that I studied and learned about, their activities just blew my mind. I was just flabbergasted that I could have been so ignorant But it's because, again, as I said at the beginning of the program, we don't see things how they are. We see things how we are. So we have to change our perspective and become more objective when we evaluate any kind of situation.
Yeah, yeah. Henry Kissinger observed that the facts don't matter. All that matters is perception.
Exactly. That's exactly what I said, but you said it shorter. Yeah.
Well, thanks to Henry the K, one of the great mass murderers of our time, by the way.
Oh my gosh. He's a pedophile. He's always been a pedophile. Oh my gosh. If you look at his history, his real history, and his background, as divulged by Kay Pollard, who was married to an individual who described military intelligence and what it really was. And she was married to a person by the name of Griggs. And if you listen to her tape and you figure out what the military does and how they control the military, how they control military intelligence and what they're doing in other countries, it's just mind boggling. And here how many countries have we bombed? How many countries have we not bombed would be a better
question. Might be a manageable list, but the alternative not, yes.
Exactly. Right. Yes.
Well, you know, just getting back to the Zapruder film, it's really a question of what evidence you take to be reliable or not. I mean, the government builds official narratives often, frequently, and we're going to talk about the moon landing on the basis of fabricated evidence. So if you thought, for example, which would on the face of it seem natural, that the autopsy x-rays are authentic, that the Zapruder film is authentic, then you're going to come up with a narrative that looks very much like what the Warren Report tells us. If you didn't know, for example, that the backyard photographs were staged, just as Lee Oswald told Will Fritz, the homicide detective investigating the assassination, when shown one of these photographs, and it was his face pasted on someone else's body, and he knew a lot about photography and eventually being able to prove it. Well, of course, as you observed, he didn't live long enough to accomplish that, but we have proven it. He was unquestionably right. Jim Mars and I co-authored an article about the backyard photographs. We included a lot of research by Jack White, who is a legendary student of photos and films related to JFK. And it turned out that Jim and I agreed that the party who'd stood in for Lee in the backyard photographs was a Dallas police officer by the name of Roscoe White. One reason, as Roscoe had this little bump on his right wrist, Deanna, that was highly unusual from some minor bone discrepancy. And the fellow in the backyard photographs had this same bump on his wrist, where further confirmation came from Larry Rivera, who's a JFK student doing the cutting edge work today on the documents and so forth that have been released by the government, even if grudgingly, establishing, in my opinion, beyond any doubt, for example, that the whole scenario of Lee Oswald going to Mexico City to attempt to obtain a visa from the Cuban embassy to travel to Cuba to make an escape to Russia was totally fabricated. You'll love this, Deanna. And three of the CIA assets were presidents, three presidents of Mexico.
Yikes. All right, we are going to a break. We will be right back. Our guest is Dr. James Fetzer. His website is jamesfetzer.org. And I believe, and it's always been my mantra, is history is prologue. That if you evaluate what has gone on in history, then you can pretty much determine that they're going to play the same, by the same rules, and attempt to get away with the same kind of shenanigans in the future that were successful in the past.
Well, since they have control of the media, Deanna, they can endlessly repeat the official narrative and make it very widespread as a belief, not as knowledge, but as the common perception of how things happen. Most Americans would be cognitively challenged to try to do research on any of the subjects we're addressing here, whether it were JFK or 9/11, the moon landing, Sandy Hook. They wouldn't have a clue, which leads to the fact that the government's pretty good at inducing widespread popular beliefs that turn out to be false. And where, you know, discovering they're false can be very challenging. You show this photograph of this guy in the backyard, and it's supposed to, they put it on the cover of Life magazine. He's not only holding this obscure World War II Italian carbine with which he's supposed to have shot the president, which, by the way, was known as the humanitarian rifle during the war for never harming anyone on purpose, but he's got a pistol belt with a revolver with which he's supposed to have shot Officer J.D. Tibbet. Except the first officer at the scene found four ejected shell casings from revolvers, from automatics, and indeed of two different makes, suggesting there were two different gunmen with revolvers there. He initialed them, but in the course of events, a substitution was made in the evidence, and now instead of being these slugs from an automatic, two different brands with his initials, they've been replaced by three of one make and one of the other that came from a revolver, but they don't have the initials. And then he's holding two communist newspapers, The Worker and The Militant. If you didn't know, and I have colleagues who are experts in this area, they represented antithetical Marxist philosophy. So if followers of The Worker can counter those from The Militant, they get in fistfights and even try to kill each other. Jack White was very discerning and observed that since the dimensions of the newspaper are known, we can use it as an internal ruler to determine how tall is the individual in the photograph. And it turns out, if you use that yardstick, that he's only about 6'8", which means that they use someone who is too short to be JFK, or they introduce the newspapers too large when they created the photoshopped image. We knew from his military ID and others that Lee was about 5'10", 5'10 and a half, average height, same height as myself. But the fact is, once again, we're talking about how the government can cast a narrative, fabricate the evidence to support it. They did it with JFK. They did it with 9/11. They did it with the moon landing in spades. And let me just offer just a brief comment about Sandy Hook, when we return.
Okay, we'll be right back. Deanna, and our guest today is Dr. James Fetzer. His website is jamesfetzer.org, and we have a lot of commonality We both have researched many of the same things. We were both in the Marine Corps. I was in the dispersing office, which is an MOS that put me there. There were probably just two women that worked in this office with, a lot of gentlemen. But it was one of the top military occupational specialties. And but it wasn't the life that I thought it was going to be. It was being an empath, I couldn't handle all of these frequencies that I had to deal with in the barracks. It was just a nightmarish kind of a situation. I did get an honorable discharge and went on with life after that. But it was an interesting experience. I don't think that it's a good idea for women to be in the military. It's just I think there are a lot of really negative things that can happen. Would you agree with that, Jim?
100%, Deanna. I've just been dumbfounded, you know, all this move to get women into combat positions. Give me a break. I mean, think about it. You know, I spent a lot of time in the Marine Corps aboard Navy ships because, of course, the Marine Corps is a branch of the Navy. But the very idea of having women aboard a ship, a small number of women, a very large number of men who have too much time on their hands, it's just a loaded situation for harassment and much worse. And I think it's a terrible idea. You want the men who are being trained for combat to have their mind on combat and not on distractions such as sex. I mean, it's just a terrible idea. And now you have this awful administration with a Secretary of Defense who says he's going to go after extremists and white supremacists in the military. They're going to have a purge of the military. Well, I'll bet 60-70% or more voted for Trump, and that's how they define domestic terrorists. Deanna, if you voted for Trump, believe it or not, you're a domestic terrorist in the eyes of Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and their cohorts. It's just disgusting.
Yes, and there were some over in the Middle East where some women are stationed. They couldn't even leave their quarters at night because their fellow soldiers would rape them. It's a terrible situation. Women do not belong in the military at all.
I'm really glad to hear you say that, because I think there are very few women who would be as candid about it. And then, because of course you served in the Marine Corps, you know whereof you speak. But I could not agree more. It's along with the absurdity of allowing men who declare themselves to be women to compete in women's sports and to be admitted to women's locker rooms and showers. How dumb are we supposed to be, Deanna? This is just moronic.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I got an early discharge. It was an honorable discharge. I just couldn't handle the lifestyle. I'm an empath. I pick up other people's frequencies. The living in a barracks with all these other frequencies, it was the worst experience of my life, because I've always been an introvert, always been very studious and doing my own thing, and then to be tossed in with a bunch of people it was terrible. Oh my gosh, it was the worst experience I've ever had.
How long did you have to endure it? How long were you in?
A year.
A year. Well, good for you to get out after a year. That's excellent. Well done. Well done.
Right. Yes, and it was, like I said, I got an honorable discharge, and it was I guess it was a learning experience that I would never want to endure again. But I did see what you're talking about, I went to Paris Island. That's where they send all the women. And, we had male drill sergeants and, we had all kinds of experiences and the day that we all graduated, this male drill sergeant propositioned me, and I thought, my gosh, is this sick or what?
Yeah.
It was just, I had visions that, oh, I'm going to serve my country and I'm going to do wonderful things. It was an illusion. It was just a really bad experience all the way around.
Deanna, believe me, I get it. It's interesting how Andrew Cuomo now is,
Isn't that funny?
having to pay for his offenses of the past. And can you believe the absurdity of Kamala Harris doing an effort to stand up for women with Bill Clinton?
Oh my gosh. What about all those arrests? What about all the frequent flyers, that were on Epstein's plane?
I know. It goes on and on and on. Bill Clinton was right in there pitching.
Exactly.
You know, in Epstein's mansion, they have this portrait of Bill Clinton in a blue dress wearing red pumps.
Yes. What happened to all the arrests? What happened to the debate when Trump said, you'd be, what did he say exactly? You'd be in jail. Right. And then as soon as the debate was over, as soon as he won the election, quote unquote, won the election, then he lauded the Clintons for all the wonderful things that they had done. My gosh.
Yeah. That was very rude. My impression is that Bill and Hill have a get out of jail free card, that they're CIA and that they're, claim they performed a lot of very bad things. Hillary, frankly, is much more of a monster than Bill.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it's just gruesome when you get into it. And then you have this reputable conduct by the directors of the FBI, where James Comey sat on the Anthony Weiner laptop in relation to the election of 2016.
Right.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
They're the Democrats and the Republicans are just two wings of the same vulture.
This gets a little tricky. I think there are differences. You know, I historically thought of myself as a JFK FDR Democrat. I believe in the welfare benefits of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, unemployment insurance, workman's compensation. Those, to me, are the only programs the government has ever had that have benefited the American people. But I voted for Bill Clinton twice. I voted for Barack Obama twice. But when it was Hillary versus Trump, that was to me a no-brainer. And of course, it was all rigged for Hillary, and Trump won anyway. So they went out of their way to make sure it wouldn't happen. I mean, the rigging of the election of 2020, Deanna, it was over the top. And when they found again that their preparation to steal the election were unavailing because it turned out, especially from rural counties, was greater than they'd assumed. They had to stop the count in key states so they could reload it, bring in truckloads of extra ballots and adjust the count, and then set the algorithm so thereafter Biden would win by a tiny percentage, like 50.1% of the vote, and Trump 49.9% to guarantee he'd be victorious.
Right. And you mentioned an interesting word, the algorithm, which we all know is we don't all know, but that's a term that they use in the medical industry, you go to your doctor, and they look at your symptoms, then they look at this algorithm, and for certain symptoms you get these medications, and if they don't follow along, because they're licensed by the government, if you cannot sue a doctor if they follow the standard of care. If they go along with the algorithm, those medications that are specific to a particular set of symptoms, you can't sue them. It's just amazing how everything is set up.
Well, the generic use of the term, of course, it's derivative from computer science, where the algorithm is the basic, you know, set of directions that can then be implemented in a computer by means of a programming language, of which there are good varieties that could implement the same algorithm for different processing systems, you know.
Right.
Macs, PCs, the whole bit, different varieties and so forth.
Right.
Actually, I've done a lot of work and publication in the area of computer science, artificial intelligence, and cognitive science. But so you know, this very idea that you're going to allow these gross violations of traditional standards, just coming back, for example, to the transgender business, which is so completely outrageous.
Can you believe that?
Insane.
Oh my gosh! The person they put in charge of health. Oh, I look at that person, and this person is going to tell us how to be healthy, and the promotion to children in school that they can choose what they want to be. Oh, I'm appalled. I'm totally appalled.
Yeah, it's absolutely disgusting. I can't imagine any parent in America who's happy about it, and it's just one of the extreme measures that the Biden team is trying to push through as long as they still are able. They're even talking about destroying the filibuster. I don't think it's going to happen, Deanna, but if it happens, you can watch Mitch McConnell is going to lock down the Senate. Nothing is going to happen in the Senate. I guarantee you, if the Democrats think they can get away with this complete and utter ramrodding of the most extreme agenda in American history. By the way, I wanted to return to the point about medicine and so forth, because it turns out these various coronavirus vaccines, whether it's the Moderna or the Pfizer or the AstraZeneca or the new Johnson & Johnson, they're all experimental. Deanna, what that means is they're doing their laboratory experiments on human beings as guinea pigs. They skip the animal studies, but I'll tell you the reality of it. That's what they're telling us to rush it to market. They did the animal studies, but the animals, all of them, died.
Yikes. If I had a do-over, I never would have vaccinated my children. If I had a do-over, I wish my parents had never vaccinated me. Because if you look at the ingredients for every vaccine, formaldehyde, aborted fetal tissue, all of these dyes, and it's terrible. And even your doctor does not look at the ingredients. It's in 7-point font, and they don't know what they're giving you. People have no, they look at the authority figure in the white coat with the stethoscope, and that doctor will say, oh, you probably need to have the flu shot or whatever, and people just roll up their sleeve without a thought. It just is.
Yeah, this is part of the plane of the American people, you know. It turns out these vaccines don't even qualify as medicine. Catherine Austin Fitz has been very emphatic about that. It's injectable, but it's not actually a vaccine, and therefore they should not qualify for immunity from liability under the congressional actions that Ronald Reagan was convinced ought to be passed in the best interest of the public, when in fact they were precisely the opposite. Because they are experimental, because the FDA's never approved them. For example, if you die as a consequence and you're not hearing about it, but the AVRS system, they have a system that is only voluntary to report adverse reactions to these vaccines, so they only actually receive about 1%. But right. We have well over 1,000 deaths, even under the voluntary reporting, Deanna, which means that you can multiply that by 100 as a rough estimate, that around 100,000 citizens have died from taking the vaccine. And I'll tell you, there are conditions for the adoption or use of vaccines. Number one, it should be safe and effective. These are not. Number two, you should have informed consent. You should be told of all the risks and all the benefits, but also the alternatives to the vaccine, which in this case includes HCQ, hydroxychloroquine, and ivermectin, both of which have proven highly effective against coronavirus, and where they don't require an injection. And third, the risk from the vaccine should not exceed the risk from the hazard against which you're being vaccinated. None of those are satisfied in this case. And because it's experimental, if your spouse dies from an injection, you had a life insurance policy, you thought you could collect. Nope, bad news. They can't collect because the vaccine is experimental. They won't cover it.
Oh my gosh, I did not know that. Oh my gosh.
And I gotta tell you, I've done so much reporting on this, Deanna. I have a show where since what, I don't know, maybe March, I have done a show every single day for the first couple of months, and then thereafter 5 days a week about local developments, especially on coronavirus and the vaccines. I mean, every damn day since last March. Every day I've been doing these shows, so I've been very current with what's going on. And it is bad news, bad news. But Deanna, let me tell you, that the grip of the social pressure and propaganda is so powerful. Five of my relatives and one of my best friends are all getting the shot. Five have already got it. He just got it, and there are more. I mean, these are among my closest relatives. And sad to say, statistically, when I look at the situation, I'm going to lose several of those relatives because of taking the shot. And I you know, to me, it just makes me feel helpless. You know, I'm doing my very best to get the word out with all these shows I do. Yeah, I'm doing 11 shows every week. I mean, those are regular shows over and beyond being interviewed by persons like you, which I, of course, am delighted to do. But the fact of the matter is, you know, there's about 47% resistance in the community, but people are being subjected to tremendous pressure. And you have mentioned my website, jamesfetzer.org. My latest blog there is about those who deny the existence of conspiracies, when conspiracies are as American as apple pie. The most widely prosecuted crime in America, Deanna, is conspiracy. Conspiracy to fraud, conspiracy to commit, you know, this crime, that crime. That is the most widely prosecuted crime in America. So, you know, it's just ridiculous, just ridiculous. And if you go there, by the way, and if you go there, you'll find embedded a presentation I gave in Seattle back in 2018 about false flags on five fronts. I'm sure your audience is well familiar with the concept of a false flag, but your pitch name is pirate, to which we will return after this break.
Exactly. And I want to talk about shedding. These people who shed. Okay, we'll be right back.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony.
Alrighty, welcome back. Excuse me. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Dr. James Fetzer. His website is jamesfetzer.org. And one of the things that I have never believed is that we went to the moon. And your book, which I received a copy of, the title of which is, "And I Suppose We Didn't Go to the Moon Either." I have never believed that we went there to begin with. But let's finish up the topic that we're on, and then I want to go to that topic. It's just really, really very interesting. And people believe it. I can't understand how anybody could, but.
Well, Deanna, you know, until this coronavirus, I thought that the moon landing hoax would be the greatest ever perpetrated on the world. But the coronavirus.
Oh, it's even worse.
Exceeds it by many orders of magnitude. And get this, now they're no longer calling the flu. You know, we used to have a fairly significant number of deaths from flu. Well, they've all been reclassified as COVID deaths. In fact, if you die in an automobile accident, they're going to put you down as a COVID death. We had Senator Scott Jensen from Minnesota, who happens to be a physician, reporting how he was astonished that he was being pressured to identify a patient as having died from COVID when he'd never even been tested. We have John Rappaport and Edward Hendry doing brilliant work about
on
the ambiguity of the word case, because they're using this PCR test that even its inventor, Carrie Mullis, said was not designed to be diagnostic, but only for research, because what it does is just to multiply the sample. If you've got, say, 4 cells, you use a PCR, you get 8 cells, 16, 32, 64, and so forth. It's a way of multiplying your database. But it doesn't diagnose. And this coronavirus has never been isolated. Since it's never been isolated, they don't actually have a vaccine that can cure it. What the vaccine does is to minimize the symptoms. And get this, even Fauci has been forced, and I refer to him as Tony the Rat, because he'd been responsible for more death and damage to the United States than all of our foreign enemies combined, Deanna. You could put together Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, and Emperor Hirohito. They collectively inflicted less damage on the United States than Tony the Rat. So it turns out even he has admitted that it doesn't cure you. Getting the vaccine does not cure you of having the coronavirus. And it not only that, but it doesn't mean you're no longer transmitting the virus. So he's saying even after you have the shot, you need to wear the mask. Get this, Deanna. He and his colleagues did a study of the Spanish flu, which actually did cause tens of millions of deaths, and they discovered most of the deaths were not from the flu, but from bacterial pneumonia. Well, guess what, folks? Guess what promotes bacterial pneumonia? Wearing a mask.
Right. And that I have the book on that, which I have the book on just about everything. And it was revealed, and probably, gosh, within a very short period of time, maybe 2 weeks after this, this news about this virus, I said, well, has anybody noticed that the flu has disappeared? And somebody called me on it and said, well, you can't say that. There's still a lot of flu. And lo and behold, a month later, the flu disappeared. Nobody was talking about the flu. They just renamed it.
That's right. They're not counting all those. And as I was beginning to say, there's this ambiguity about the meaning of the word case, because it could mean just a positive result from the PCR test. And as you were implying earlier, that PCR test has 97% false positives. So just because you get a positive on the PCR test does not mean you have COVID. And
right.
Then you have COVID. So they're not distinguishing between actually having COVID and getting a positive but probably false result on the PCR to run up the numbers. This is a numbers game for big money, Deanna, big money.
The other thing about the test is that usually when, if you got strep throat or something else and you went to your physician, they would swab the inside of your mouth. They would not stick a very long swab up into your nose with the chance of jabbing your pituitary, which is right at the top of your nose, which if you do that, then you pretty much destroy the pituitary gland, which is a terrible thing to do. It's one of the major glands in your brain.
Well, not only that, Deanna, but there's a narrow barrier at the back of the nasal cavity to the brain, and they're puncturing that barrier.
Exactly.
Seriously.
Exactly. Yes. Okay, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Alrighty, we are back. Our guest today is Dr. James Fetzer. His website is jamesfetzer.org. And we're talking about the test for corona. We're talking about the disappearance of the flu. And you mentioned Tony Fauci, who is a mass murderer. He was also involved with HIV. He probably is owns the patent for certain things associated with the virus. If it's a GMO virus, which it is, if it's created, then you have to ask, okay, who created it? Who owns the patent? Who's going to get profit from it? And you need to look at the same kind of situation with the HIV. He's been with the same organization, the same association for years. And the first thing that Trump should have done was gotten rid of him. He is a criminal of the worst kind, of the very, very worst kind. That should have been the very first thing that Trump should have done.
Yeah, it would have been tricky. I think you're right that would have been a good move because of civil service protections. And this guy is like the highest paid member of the executive branch. I mean, he may be the highest paid member of the government. It would have been tricky to get him out, but he could have marginalized him, given him a different assignment, replaced him by somebody better. Scott Atlas, at one point, he had this wonderful physician from the Stanford Medical School out there as an advisor. Scott Atlas would have been very good in that position as an ad hoc appointment, or just make Scott Atlas have authority over Fauci. But Fauci has been doing more damage. I'm just shocked and embarrassed to see the media fawning over this guy when he's a criminal. You got it exactly right, Deanna. This is a criminal, and he's leading to the death of hundreds of thousands of Americans. I'm fearful it's going to add up into the millions. You may or may not know that Deagle.com, this website with deep connections to military, industrial, and intel complex, has projected, it gives projection for all the nations of the world of their population.
Right.
Yeah.
What is the name of it?
From 2020 to 2025. And for most, it's a modest increase or a modest decrease. Well, for the United States, Deanna, the Deagle projects going from about 330 million to 99 million in 5 years.
Right. I've been to that website, and when you look at the figures, it's just amazing. And you mentioned, that the media fawns over Fauci. That's what they do. The media is a propaganda program, period. We do not get information from the media. We are being programmed. That is why they call it programming, period.
Yes, is there, you know, coddling Biden. I mean, the guy's totally incompetent. He's lost his way. I'm not even convinced this is the real Joe Biden, by the way. After the first debate, Deanna, I noticed this guy didn't look right. It may have, James Woods, the actor, was the first to tweet that the debater had brown eyes, Biden had blue. I noticed the ears were wrong. Now, ears turn out to be as distinctive as fingerprints. And this guy's ears come down and attach directly to his face, whereas Biden's curl up. So he has what are known as pendant ears, not this guy who was on the debate stage. He also has a narrower cranium. It turns out he has a different signature. He began signing the executive orders with his left hand, so he's left-handed. Then he was, of course, instructed he had to switch to his right because Biden was right-handed. I checked out his social interaction with his wife, Jill. If you look in the past, when Jill is with Joe, they're arm-in-arm, hand-in-hand. She is just beaming. He has his eating on a look on his face, just this unbelievable smile, right? Well, looking at her with this imposter, it's completely different. She looks dour. She looks concerned, like they might get exposed. They're not arm-in-arm. They're not hand-in-hand. He's just looking around, no smile. Get this. The inauguration was pre-recorded, Deanna. I was stunned when I looked at the clock while I was following that it was 10 or 15 minutes too early. In other words, it was taking place during the Trump administration, which meant it was legally invalid. And I had a colleague who was switching channels and was seeing different stages of the inauguration, all officially being broadcast live, which was impossible because it was showing some earlier and some later developments at the same time. We also had a woman in white and a woman in pink. Now they're over here, now they're over there, but you've seen no transition. Jill's shoes turned from tan to blue to tan. I mean, this is just insulting beyond belief.
And you have to wonder why she is going along with it. Why would she do this to her husband? Why would she put him in such a terrible situation?
Well, frankly, I think Joe Biden may actually already be dead or completely incompetent and senile. They kept him in the basement. He came out and said, you know, we put together the greatest voter fraud operation in history, and he was speaking the truth.
Right.
He said, I don't need your help to get elected. I only need your help after. Well, how can any politician say they don't need the public's help to get elected, Deanna? Give me a break.
Right.
This is just a monster con, and they use the Dominion voting machines and the Scylla tabulators and the Leonardo satellites to manipulate the election and the outcome. It was just grotesque, grotesque. Sidney Powell, who's been on the inside of what's going on here, actually revealed that the honest election, by the honest count, Trump just swept the nation, all but about five states, including California and Minnesota, which, by the way, I was predicting would happen. He actually won 410 electoral votes.
Wow. Wow.
It's just unbelievable what's gone on here.
Yes. Oh, gosh. When you sit back and think about it, you just have to wonder, how the heck did this happen? But everything has been incremental. It didn't just fall on us. It has been incremental. We don't know when it started. I think it started right after the so-called Civil War, or before the so-called Civil War. I'm more of a historian than I am a current events watcher. Although I get involved with current events, I'm more of a historian because as I mentioned, history is prologue. And if they were messing with our minds, stealing our money, and doing all of these things, and arranging financial crashes in 1837, you can bet they're still going to be doing that now.
I think that's right. I do believe the control of the media became increasingly urgent following the assassination of JFK to keep the public in a state of disbelief. Or you know what William Casey, Ronald Reagan's campaign manager, announced to the assembled staff of the CIA when he became its director, "We will know our disinformation campaign is a success when everything the American people believe is false." And I know a woman then acting with the CIA was there to hear him say it.
Wow. A lot of very interesting things. But as I said, a study of history certainly would indicate that how things have gone downhill, and they will continue, and you think, well, if they kill so many people, and usually they have used the citizen to make money, to fund consumerism, and people buy, and it's just amazing. Who are they going to live off of, or is it going to be this great reset that we've been hearing about?
Oh, that's the plan. There's no question about it. The whole idea of the coronavirus was to wipe out the middle class, to knock out small businesses, because that was a source of income, Deanna, separate and apart from the government. So now that they wiped out all the small businesses, those stimulus checks, those are just the beginning. They want to make everyone dependent upon the government for any income, just to live, just to stay alive. And then they'll let you rent a little cubicle. This is already going on in Australia. They'll let you rent a little cubicle, maybe 300 square feet, to live like a rat in a cage. And they're going to propose that they will pay off all your mortgages, your student loans, and your credit cards if you agree to give them all your property and assets and to adhere to a regimen of vaccination. And if you don't want to do that, they're going to put you in a FEMA camp as a public health menace. And eventually, if you are really dug in about it, really resistant, they're going to separate your head from your body using guillotines made, guess where?
Right.
In China.
Well, if you read the Noahide laws, guillotines or severing of the head is really from the Noahide laws. They talk about it specifically in the Noahide law, which is not Chinese.
Right. Well, I agree with you. I mean, what we had going on in Europe with this massive migration from Africa is part of the Kalergi plan to destroy European culture. And what we have going on here now with Biden in place, this massive influx of migrants from Central and South America, Deanna, is the application of the Kalergi plan to North America. And, you know, we're told these heartbreaking stories. Oh, they marched 1,000 miles to get here to our border. Nonsense. They looked pretty fresh. They got clean clothes.
They were driven there.
Flip-flops or sandals, Deanna. You don't go 1,000 miles in flip-flops. I found footage are being caravaned in truck caravans, and on the doors of trucks is the Star of David.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, even Bibi Netanyahu said in 2020 that America is the golden calf and we're going to suck it dry and turn it into the world's greatest welfare state, because that's what we do with nations we hate.
Right. After all the money that the U.S. taxpayer has sent to Israel so that they could bomb, so that they could destroy their neighbors. Unbelievable.
We are suckers and saps.
Yes.
And we've been played again and again and again. And AIPAC, the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee, it's a political operative which has somehow evades being qualified as a...
It's a foreign agent.
A foreign agent, yeah.
Unregistered.
Yes, exactly, Deanna. Jack had its precursor, which was the American Jewish council registered as a foreign agent, but after his assassination, no one's been willing to do it. Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you mentioned Final Solution, of course. That's a very good book, but it turns out that the sponsors of the assassination were multiple. The CIA, because Jack was threatening to shatter it into 1,000 pieces. The U.S. military, because he not invaded Cuba contrary to their unanimous recommendation. He'd gone ahead and signed an above-ground test ban treaty with the Soviet Union contrary to the unanimous opposition. And now he directed all our forces to be pulled out of Vietnam by 1964, where the chiefs thought that we had to stand fast against the expansion of international godless communism. The anti-Castro Cubans were all in because they felt he'd betrayed them at the Bay of Pigs. It was false, but the CIA let that belief stand. Yeah, the Texas oilmen, because Jack was going to cut the oil depletion allowance, a huge tax write-off they got on the ground that by pumping oil out of the ground, they were putting themselves out of business because it was a finite resource. You had the bankers and the establishment surrounding the Fed because Jack thought it was absurd to pay interest for printing the currency of the United States and directed the Department of Treasury to print United States notes instead of Federal Reserve notes. I recall as a young Marine Corps officer holding one of these in my hand, and it had a red embossed imprint rather than green and said United States notes rather than Federal Reserve. He was exactly right. And then you had Israel, because David Ben-Gurion, then its prime minister and among the founders of Israel, was emphatic that Israel should develop nuclear weapons, but Jack didn't want to start an arms race in the Middle East, and Ben-Gurion resigned after, it's my opinion, he designated the Mossad to throw in on taking out Jack. And I'll tell you, Dan, I've done a lot of work about the individuals who appear to participate, and it looks like each of those groups went up their own shooter. So there's a CIA.
Oh, right.
There's a CIA guy. There's an Army expert. There's Lyndon Johnson's personal hitman. There's an anti-Castro Cuban. There's a Dallas deputy sheriff. There's a Dallas police officer. I'm telling you, it's really stunning when you understand the big picture here. And Lee Oswald was none of the above. Lee Oswald was standing in the doorway of the book depository when the JFK motorcade came by, Deanna.
Right. Right. Wow. Very interesting.
Yeah. Well. You know, I'm doing all this research on false flags. I apply my background with regard to scientific reasoning and the theory of knowledge and the study of logic, where one way you can tell something's terribly wrong if you observe something that isn't possible. I mentioned the example of the plane entering the South Tower. That was a physical impossibility, violating the laws of physics and engineering that plane should have crumpled external to the building, body, seats, luggage, wings, tail, fallen to the ground.
Right.
The engines perhaps entering the building, but not the rest.
Amazing.
Something was wrong.
Yes. All righty. We'll be right back. We are back. Our guest today is Dr. James Fetzer. His website is jamesfetzer.org. And we're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about the cover-up. We're talking about COVID. And we need to get to that moon landing. I never believed it. And I always kind of compare the whole situation, in as much as we really haven't been back since, for several years, as, oh, the dog ate my homework. And so that's kind of what NASA has done. And the whole idea of NASA and the creativity that they have employed and the amount of money that, that the U.S. taxpayer spends on funding NASA is just amazing to me. And the Van Allen belts, the radiation belts, there's no possible way that the vehicle that they created and showed us could possibly, it looked like it was lawn chairs and tape, and it was just amazing that anybody could believe that we went there. When you look at what they were supposed to go on, and the fact that that they show the Earth as being smaller than, oh, it's just preposterous. And yet, because people saw it on TV, they believe that it's true. And I think that must have been served as some sort of a test to see just how gullible the American people can be. And we can certainly talk about this in the next hour.
Oh, I think you're spot on across the board, Deanna. Yes, yes, yes. We don't have the protection to transit the Van Allen radiation belt, which is enormous. We'd have a NASA spokesman acknowledging, this was a couple years back, that the greatest obstacle to a manned mission to Mars was a Van Allen radiation belt, not realizing he was thereby implicitly denying that we'd gone to the moon, because we would have had to navigate back in 1969-70, something he was reporting now, you know, like in 2018, could not be done all those years later. So you're making an impeccable point. It is true also that some of the photographs we have that are supposed to be of the Earth from the moon show the Earth in the same relative size in relation to the moon that the moon is in relation to the Earth, which is completely absurd because Earth has 55 times the density of the moon, meaning roughly speaking, Earth is 55 times larger than the moon. So if you were taking a photograph of the Earth from the moon, it would fill your entire visual field, Deanna. It's just a joke what's going on here, and it's you know, as though they tweak us right to our faces.
All righty, we're at the top of the hour. We will be back momentarily, and then we'll talk further about this this trip.
Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
His website is jamesfetzer.org. I believe that there are so many more lies that we have been told, just about everything that we have been told. I think that if you really investigated it, you would have to question it. And certainly going to the moon, and how did they get back? What kind of propellant? How did they propel themselves away from that, from the moon? And and the other thing too is that that we have seen, well, they said that they went to Mars and showed us pictures of the landing on Mars, and yet they had little ground squirrels that are the same kind of little rodents that are found on the Earth. It's just so preposterous, and yet because people saw it on TV, they believe it. And I have friends that I have attempted to convince, and they're just beyond convincing. Go ahead. Yeah.
There's this wonderful movie called Capricorn One, starring James Brolin and O.J. Simpson and Sam Waterston as astronauts, and Hal Holbrook is the head of the NASA project, who explains to them, just as they're about to launch on a mission to Mars, that they discovered a flaw in the program, and that upon re-entry, they would have all been, toasted live. And to circumvent that, therefore, they're going to have to fake it. So he take them to a remote location, a small airfield out in the Mojave Desert, which is all set up with a moon landing set, you know, as though you actually were on the moon to do the filming. And they show how the key to it was using a single grainy feed to go to all the networks where you couldn't see everything so clearly. You know, it was all kind of vague. And the whole plot revolves around whether they were able to expose it or not. I just say this is a wonderful prototype that actually is a template for how they fake the moon landing, where it appears to me that Stanley Kubrick, you know, who did this brilliant film, Space Odyssey 2001, may have been involved in the filming.
Yes, he is seen with certain people. That would indicate that he was involved. And I think that he kind of let the cat out of the bag, very subtly stating that, that he was involved. And then when you talk to some of the first, people that went, one of the gentlemen, I don't recall who it was, but actually, he was asked by a child, when are you going back?
And
he said, well, we haven't been there.
Right. Yeah. It was a lapse. That was a senior moment, Dion.
Right.
It's like Joe Biden getting out a coherent sentence, Neil Armstrong saying we didn't go there. You know, it was a senior moment. He wasn't supposed to reveal it.
Right.
One of the great blunders, you know, in that initial press conference was one of the three astronauts was asked about space, you know, all the stars in space, and wasn't it spectacular? And he declared that it was just pitch blackness, which is simply absurd. Now, the stars wouldn't have been twinkling, but the heavens would have been ablaze with all these points of light. You know, there's no oxygen on the moon, no atmosphere, and therefore you wouldn't have the refractory phenomena that occurred when we look out at the stars here from Earth, which causes them to twinkle because we're looking at them through the atmosphere. But they've been saddled with that blunder ever since. I mean, we had a Russian cosmonaut who didn't travel to the moon, of course, but in low Earth orbit, was able to report his observations about the brilliance of the heavens because he was above virtually all of Earth's atmosphere. And it was, you know, exactly what you would expect it ought to have been. The heavens would have been ablaze with, you know, a billion points of light.
Right.
Your point, by the way, about making an escape out of the Earth's out of the moon's gravitational field is completely correct too. Although the gravitational field of the moon is only about 1/6 that of Earth. In order to escape Earth's gravitational field, you'd have to attain an escape velocity of 25,020 miles per hour. In order to escape the moon's gravitational field, you'd have to have an escape velocity of 5,320 miles an hour. But as you observe, it was only this little dinky little Moonlander thing there. It didn't have the power to escape Earth, moon's gravitational field. So if we'd gone there, we could never have come back.
Right. And there's, there's indication too that the thing that we call the moon is transparent.
Well, I'm not aware of that. I mean, that would surprise me, but, here's something also fascinating. It turns out that in the various levels of the atmosphere, I mean, they're very significantly different. And the temperatures encountered in these various levels are strikingly different. And they get up far, far beyond the melting points of the metals out of which the spaceship was made. For example, get this, aluminum, the spaceship's made up of aluminum alloys, stainless steel, titanium, nickel steel alloy, and heat resistant glass. Well, their melting points, you know, would be the following: aluminum alloy, 671 degrees Fahrenheit, stainless steel, 2,750 degrees Fahrenheit, titanium, 3,034 degrees Fahrenheit, nickel steel alloy, 2,647, heat resistant glass, 1,400. Now, in the thermosphere, up to 400 miles above Earth's surface, the temperature can reach from 932 degrees Fahrenheit to 3,632, for example, which exceeds the melting points of all the materials from which a spacecraft is made. Now, we have to draw a distinction between temperature and heat, because just as you can pass your hand through a flame, you know, and not be affected, if a spaceship right. could transit the thermosphere rapidly, it wouldn't be affected. But if it could not do that, and the reasons to think it could not do that, a spaceship that actually made it into the thermosphere would melt.
Amazing. I think we have a caller.
Let's sure.
Who's calling in? Nancy?
Yes.
From California? Yes.
Yeah. I have a theory about the moon landing. We were in a race war, right? I mean, we were racing to the moon against Russia. And we knew we couldn't win, but we wanted to pretend. We wanted to have this illusion of superiority. And so they faked the moon landing. And just like dogs, they wanted, you know, they planted the flag or made it seem like they had planted the flag to claim territory. It's like a dog marking its territory, you know? Mm-hmm. Humans do that too. And I think it's as simple as that. They wanted to make the world believe that we had made it to the moon, planted our flag, claimed the moon. It's ours. That's our property.
You're approximately correct, Nancy, but it wasn't a competition to get to the moon. It's simply that the Soviet Union had embarrassed the United States by launching the first satellite, Sputnik. And that showed that the Soviets appeared to have a technological, scientific superiority over the United States, such that JFK responded to the challenge by declaring that we'd put a man on the moon, not knowing that it wasn't physically possible, that we didn't have the technical capability, and that it simply, certainly at that point in time, if ever, could not be done. But you're right about it was a propaganda exercise to try to make it look as though the U.S. really was not just equal to, but even superior to the Soviets in science and technology, when, as a matter of fact, it was untrue. They were ahead of us.
Well, plus, if there were minerals or whatever resources up there, we would probably want to act like we had claimed it, that it was ours.
Well, the problem would be, I mean, you couldn't get off of moon if you ever got onto moon, and even the claims to bring back all these moon rocks are absurd. It turns out that Wernher von Braun who is a leading German expert on rocketry, whom we brought over to the U.S. and integrated into our intelligence services, along with a thousand or more other German scientists and military experts, actually conducted a tour of the Antarctica a couple of years before the alleged moon landing to pick up moon rocks that had come down to Earth's surface after having been dislodged from the surface of the moon by the impact of small asteroids, caught in Earth's gravitational field and brought down there, so he could present moon rocks, bona fide moon rocks, as evidence that we've gone to the moon. Except that while they were real moon rocks, they hadn't arrived on Earth by the mode of transportation alleged.
Wow.
Well, I think that they've tried to do that with other subjects as well, like the cave paintings. Who knows? It could have been teenagers. That could have been their graffiti back then. I mean, they just throw things out there and make these guesses and... Anyway, well, I've really been enjoying your...
Oh, excellent. I'm glad, Nancy. I'm glad. Actually, I used a book, a text in a critical thinking class on frauds and myths in archaeology. Archaeology is really a very interesting study, and there are an awful lot of frauds in the history of archaeology. I do not, however, believe that the paintings and some of those ancient caves were among them. Those appear to be real, bona fide.
No, but, yeah, what I'm saying is the teenagers that lived back then, who knows, maybe it was a teenage hangout, and it was just their form of graffiti, or they were just doing art. Maybe a little club that they had. It doesn't mean that they were so in advance. You know, they found skulls that had been opened up and were healing, so they knew that they performed a brain operation that healed. I mean, there are evidences that they were much more advanced than they've been given credit for. I don't believe that we were monkeys. I don't believe that they became cavemen, and I don't believe in their theory of evolution. There's this one, and I know this is totally off the subject, but I'll say it really quick. There's this one archaeologist over in France who said that evolution is a fairy tale for grown-ups, and I believe it. In fact, Darwin himself said that to believe that the human eye evolved is absurd in the highest.
Well, it's a bit complicated. I've published on this. I have a couple of books on evolution, and it's you cannot understand modern science and biology, geology, archaeology without evolution, but I respect the right of each person to believe what they prefer as a matter of an article of faith. When it comes to, you know, the science of the matter, I would say it's all on the side of evolution, but I certainly, again, reiterate, there are a lot of Americans who are skeptics when it comes to evolution. So you're hardly alone.
Well, you know, I'm with you on so many other things. On that, I think we veer in
sure,
different paths.
Sure. Well, look at Deanna.
I mean,
look at Deanna and me. We're so alike on so many, but we disagree fundamentally about Sandy Hook. I mean, you know.
Right. It's so nice to have you guys together today.
Yeah, but it's wonderful. I was just delighted when she reached out to invite me to come on the show, and, you know, that we'd have such a lengthy period of time, I thought was perfect, especially given the complexities of some of the issues with which we're dealing.
Well, so you've certainly heard about the Cambrian explosion, right? Cambrian?
Yes.
And then you've probably also heard about how they have found trees that go through all the sedimentary layers, and they actually witnessed that when the Mount St. Helens erupted. In fact, they found that the lava, you know, the ash from the explosion ended up in the water in the lake, and it was settling so fast because there was all this ash and sediment and stuff in the water. Anyway, there was a body of water, and it had gotten blocked up, and when it broke through, that water was so full of this ash and other materials that it cut through solid rock like it was butter. This is from a geologist, by the way, that taught at a university. He presented it to, there was a rock club that I used to attend. He presented it to the club. We watched the video. It was amazing. So he said that they know, they now know how to petrify wood within 1 week. They, you know, they learned so much from observing the Mount St. Helens eruption. They also found lumps of coal that were at the bottom of the lake. They broke them open and it was raw bark, raw pine bark in the middle. So the, you know, just the heat had basically burnt the outer part of this bark and turned it into coal or whatever the process was. But he said they now know how to petrify wood within 1 week.
I would be very surprised, but I'm fascinated. I'm glad you called in, Nancy. I'm glad you called
in. Thank you very much. Thanks. Sorry for veering off the subject. I will hang up now and listen.
That's okay. We all have, you know, our hypotheses and theories and views that we want to promote, and you did a very good job of presenting your view.
Yes, thank you. For some reason, I'm unable to see the callers. So, Sam, could you please... look at my, I believe that Chris in Las Vegas was next. No? Okay, we'll go on to, yeah, Chris. Okay, Chris in Las Vegas. Chris?
All right, Deanna, and good afternoon to Dr. Fetzer. I must say I'm thrilled to have you back on Deanna's show on this fabulous day. A couple of things that I've noticed that I think you'll identify with and find intriguing is that the apparent shooter of Ashley Babbitt at the January 6th false flag staged event put on by Act Blue, the DNC, Nancy Pelosi, and some of her special friends with that adverse to American interest that wanted to frame the blame on Trump and the MAGA people. I've heard, and I'm wondering if you have any confirmation, that the shooter in the hallway that shot Ashley Simpson, perhaps, or at least fired something in her direction, was likely Chucky Schumer bodyguard previously, and maybe a professional assassin. This seems to have some legs. I'm wondering if you've heard anything in those references.
Well, I've done a lot of research on the Capitol intrusion, and of course the Trump people were a mile and a half away, didn't finish speaking until 1:11. All these events were going, already percolating before they'd already called for reinforcement. I have a video, which, 21 minutes long, where you can see there are directors and managers in the crowd at the front of the Capitol directing everyone to where they should go. And it follows the events involving Ashley Babbitt, probably a fake name, and where she's seeking to climb through this window. It's where the party comes out and fires in her direction. I'll pick it up after the break.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes.
We are back with our guest, Dr. James Fetzer. His website is jamesfetzer.org. And we had Chris on the phone.
Yeah, let's see. Chris was asking, it follows the crowd inside the Capitol there where you see actually Ashley seeking to climb through the window, and this fellow comes over, holds out his gun, and fires. Now, what's fascinating is nobody flinches, nobody ducks, nobody tries to get out of the way. It's as though they knew it were going to happen, and it appears to have been a blank. And Ashley was not representing a risk to him. She was far removed from him. So the use of deadly force to defend himself was not appropriate. Legally, he would be, I think, guilty had she really been shot and really died. of a probably second degree murder, at the very least manslaughter. We haven't heard any talk about anything like that. They lay Ashley down. If she'd actually been shot in the neck, as alleged, there'd be blood spurting all over the place. Necks are very, very messy. She was actually given a small packet of what appears to have been fake blood, and she smeared a little on her, but she's lying there in a very comfortable position. You don't have any EMTs show up. She received no medical attention, and she's carried out by her legs and her shoulders. This is like Orlando, where you didn't have a surge of ambulances to respond to the dead and wounded, but you had people who claimed they threw bodies into pickup trucks. Well, that's simply absurd. You move a body when it's wounded, you may actually aggravate the wound and possibly even kill the person and then be legally liable. So that does not happen. This was all staged, completely fake. Your caller is spot on about it. We have James Sullivan, the brother of John, who's a very prominent Antifa leader, declaring that his brother John led 226 Antifa members dressed as Trump supporters into the Capitol to disrupt what was taking place. And if you paid attention, what was taking place was discussion of evidence of the theft of the election. So what motive would Donald Trump, who was addressing the crowd there that may have numbered up to a million, about the election fraud? He could not have wanted more than for Congress to address it. The party who did not want that to happen was Nancy Pelosi. Guess who controls the Capitol Police? Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House. This was completely engineered. Your caller's got exactly 100% the right idea. Some of the details I've refined a bit, but he's certainly spot on.
Right. Well, thank you, Chris, for your phone call.
Well, I do have one other thing for you, if you don't mind.
What?
Well,
I
was going to point out that Chris Ray apparently is willfully engaging in Title 18 U.S.C. 1346, willful failure to provide honest services by his false testifying that there weren't any Antifa there and that it was all white supremacists that were involved and other farcical fantasies. So that's very, very troubling.
Chris, let me just pick up on that. Yes, just as James Comey covered for Hillary Clinton regarding 2016, Christopher Wray appears to be equally despicable, dishonest.
A liar.
Actually had to publish that they had evidence that this was planned in advance over the social media, and it was even printed in the Times attributing the FBI, but Christopher Wray, another scumbag in a high position to protect the guilty.
Right. Okay, Chris, we're going to cut you loose and move on. Thank you. Let's go with Sherry in Kansas. Sherry?
Good afternoon, y'all. This goes back to the George Floyd thing you mentioned early in the first hour. And
sure.
I could swear I heard James Perloff say in an interview, it was on his book about COVID, but he just mentioned that he looked into the George Floyd thing, and he said that the George, I believe he was talking about the arrest record in Houston. They were talking about that, and he said that that George Floyd died in Houston.
Yes, 3 years earlier.
Okay.
Okay.
The other thing, the deal about the insurance companies not covering the vaccine.
Yeah. Sure.
Or the life insurance company. The producer for Robert Scott Bell said he looked into that and traced it back to a post by someone in Canada, a lady in Canada that said that Health Canada was not going to cover if you died from that vaccine. They weren't going to cover your life insurance. And he checked into it, and he spent quite a bit of time, and he said that that is not true. So that's just something I heard. And then I've got one other thing. Deanna, you didn't mention to Jim the relationship your grandfather had with Smedley Butler, and I've got to believe that you didn't read Smedley Butler's book before you went in, I'm guessing.
No, I didn't. I should have.
War is a racket. You got it right.
Yes, I should have read it, but I didn't. Okay, we'll be right back.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all
righty.
Heroes.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest is Dr. James Fetzer. His website is jamesfetzer.org. One day I'll have to do a program about my grandfather, my relationship with him, the fact that Smedley Butler was killed in a government facility. He was, I really do think that he was murdered because he wasn't sick when he went in, but he died while he was there just a very short time later. I had a very interesting relationship with my grandfather, and they did so many good things in China. They were helping the people rebuild the bridges and things. It was just a remarkable story. I'll have to talk about that at some point. But I didn't read the book. Where's the racket? I should have done that. But
it's more like a pamphlet. It's only about 80 pages long.
Right.
But Smedley Butler is the only two-time Congressional Medal of Winner of whom I'm aware. And, of course, he actually was recruited to lead a march against Roosevelt.
Right.
A real insurrection, unlike this phony business.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. And he went along with it so he could expose the leaders in testimony before Congress, what he did courageously, and then Congress did nothing to uphold the law. So
exactly.
Smedley was great, but Congress, as it has most recently in relation to all this evidence of the theft of the election, has betrayed the American people, as has the Supreme Court of the United States by not taking the Texas case, for example, which gave a very clear delineation of the violations by Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, and Wisconsin of their own election laws, Deanna. How bad
They're stacked. They're stacked. The whole Supreme Court got there because they went along with the criminals, politicians.
Now, let's just suggest in relation to this question of whether the insurance policies are going to cover experimental procedures. Because they're experimental, the insurance company cannot know what the procedure is. You know, maybe it's a sticking a light bulb in your mouth and then grabbing an open electrical circuit as if you they cannot cover experimental because they have no idea what they are. And in this case, sad to say, if you get the shot, you're running the risk of committing suicide unintentionally, of course. So I think this fellow who claimed to have researched it cannot be speaking the truth. Not only that, but look, just think about it. Insurance companies write insurance to specifications of individuals. How many kinds of insurance are there? How many insurance salesmen are there out there? Endless numbers and variations. So perhaps you could get a policy that covered experimental procedures, even though no one knows what those might be, but I expect it would be prohibitively expensive. Look, the insurance companies are going to want to weigh out. There are going to be hundreds of thousands.
Of course.
I predict there are going to be millions of deaths from the COVID vaccines, and they don't want to pay out.
Of course not. They're there to make money.
Exactly. Exactly. So there's my take on it. But I respect the caller. I'm glad she raised the question. That's all good.
Yes. Thank you, Sherry. We're going to cut you loose and move on to Michael in New York. Michael?
Yes, hello, good afternoon. Professor Fetzer, been a long time. Great to hear you on Deanna's show. And always great listening to your discussions. Appreciate it. I was wondering a couple things. I tuned in late, so if you already covered this, I apologize for missing it. What your current take is on the Boulder, Colorado shooting, and also what's the latest, because I haven't heard you in a long time, can you give us an update on the latest with the Sandy Hook, the lawsuits, and your friend Wolfgang.
I don't think that would be a good thing to be talking about.
Let me do this. Deanna, I appreciate the situation. I'm so glad you invited me to come on. Let me answer this in two different ways that are going to be non-provocative. You know, we're not going to have a debate about Sandy Hook. Let me just say, the Boulder thing appears to be another classic false flag. Here are some of the signs. The timing. You got the Democrats wanting to push a gun control. They need a gun control. This is like the Jussie Smollett event in Chicago. Totally staged.
Was that something?
2 a.m. he comes out of a subway and there are a couple of rednecks who are carrying a bottle of bleach and a noose for this black gay actor at 2 a.m. on the coldest night in Chicago. It's just absurd on its face.
Exactly.
They weren't rednecks at all. They were two Nigerian bodybuilders, one of whom was Jussie's personal trainer, the other an extra on the set of Empire, where he was a some sort of star. We have closed-circuit TV of them buying the equipment they use for this whole ridiculous thing at a hardware store. Jussie Smollett paid them with a personal check for $3,500.
How dumb could you get? How dumb could you get?
But see, Deanna, it was Kamala Harris and Cory Booker had an anti-lynching law that nobody thought was needed, so they had to stage an event to make it look like maybe it really was. That's what's going on there. In case you don't know, Jussie Smollett is Kamala Harris's nephew. Jussie Smollett was out on the campaign trail with Kamala Harris, and it turns out this woman, the attorney who dismissed the charges, Kim Fox, regards Kamala Harris as her mentor.
Right.
This is all going to come out. This is a major scandal, and this woman is now the vice president, the president in waiting of the United States.
Well, her husband announced.
She was the first Democrat to drop out. She never even made it to Iowa. She never even made it to Iowa.
And the other thing is that her husband, Doug Emhoff, announced to a public meeting his wife was going to be the next president of the United States. That's on video. It was set up so that she would automatically move in as president.
Yeah, it's all disgusting. Listen about Sandy Hook. Yes, I was subjected to a lawsuit over the book where I brought together 13 experts, published on Amazon, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, on the 22nd of October 2015. It sold nearly 500 copies when it was banned on the 19th of November. So I released it for free to the public as a PDF. Now, a friend of mine who follows all this says it's been downloaded over 10 million times, which I regard as a great success, since I wasn't going to sell 10 million copies, and my motive has never been monetary. I simply want to get the truth out. Now, if you go to my blog, and so I was hit with this lawsuit, and it was very peculiar. There were all kinds of violations of protocol.
Well,
the court, the judge wouldn't let me put up a defense, Deanna.
It's not a good thing for you to talk about. I don't want you to
believe me, I understand the constraints. Believe me, I've been living through this. And I wound up being found guilty of defamation when, in fact, it was preposterous, in my opinion, to put it mildly. And where I appealed, and the appellate court wrongly turned down my appeal. So I'm now in the process of putting together a motion for reconsideration to the appellate court. So that's where that stands. And just for those who want to know, without Deanna and my, you know, debating the issue here, which we're not going to do, if you go to my blog, the second blog in is Tim Foyle on the psychology of the conspiracy denier, talking about why anyone would deny the existence of conspiracies when they're so bountiful. In fact, I describe conspiracies as American as apple pie, as I said earlier on the show. Well, if you scroll down, you'll find I republished a piece from 2018, a talk I gave in Seattle, Washington. False flags on five fronts: Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Charlottesville, Las Vegas, and JFK. That'll give you a pretty good idea, pretty much, of the state of research on these matters. I have other presentations that are more thoroughgoing. If you if you looked on the internet for a Sandy Hook update, oh, I know what I should tell you. My most recent was at a conference I organized online on false flags and conspiracies, actually held on the 5th and the 6th of December, where I had 24 experts come together on different false flag events, and I did one of my own on Sandy Hook. That's my most recent presentation. You can find that at falseflagconspiracies2020.com. Falseflagconspiracies2020.com. With 24 others, Deanna, I mean, there's something there for everybody. JFK, the Godfathers of Sex, Bill Cosby, Jeffrey Epstein, Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, great.
I have a second there.
Harvey Weinstein. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have one there called Deception Galore, where I talk about Hillary Clinton using body doubles, as well as Joe Biden using body doubles, as well as Michelle Obama not being the woman you thought she was.
Oh, she's not. She's a he.
I know, but also an expose about Jussie Smollett, George Floyd, and Bubba Wallace. So just
sounds
check out
those
sources. I greatly appreciate the call.
Great. Okay.
Can I make a quick comment and just say Michelle Obama is really Mitchell Obama?
Michael.
Oh, Michael, born Michael LaVon Robinson. Michael.
Yes. Yes.
And Obama.
That's true.
Oh, Brock even referred to her as Michael, you know, before the joint chief
of staff. It was
I'm just joking, because I'm a Michael, and there's no way I'm calling that a Michael, so I call it Mitch.
Okay.
I got you.
Okay, got your point. All right, Michael.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, let's take Charles in Florida. Charles?
Hey, how you doing, Diana and Dr. Spencer? I hope I'm not off topic, but I don't know if you're familiar that they're using in the swabs, nasal swabs that they use for the COVID things, you know, where they apply in the, up in the nostrils and
right,
against
there's
the
nanoparticles on some of those.
Well, the ethylene oxide is a known carcinogen. I was reading an article about that. It's very dangerous what they're applying in these swabs and what the material is swabbing.
I recommend against it. You know, even being tested, if you can avoid it, I wouldn't even get tested. I'm not going to get tested. There are too many ways they can affect you. Those nasal swabs, those long Q-tips, they poke up your nose, can break this very thin membrane that separates the nasal passage from your brain. We've had some of those who were tested. A young girl had that membrane broken, and now she's undergone an emergency medical operation to repair it. I mean, it's putting your life in jeopardy. They can do these tests off of saliva, for example,
right,
or perspiration.
Right.
Deanna, they are doing anal swabs. How insulting is that?
How is that? There's no...
Because the whole thing is to humiliate us. This whole objective is to destroy America and their self-confidence and who we are in society. It's all disgusting beyond belief.
Terrible.
Another thing, have you heard about the guy, the head or president of Tanzania? I think it's Tanzania in Africa.
Tanzania.
They mysteriously... refused to let the COVID program into his country. Then he disappears, and then 2 days later he's found dead.
Right.
And his vice president is a part of the World Economic Forum. I've seen that too.
Well, let me just comment. This guy had a PhD in chemistry, and he was not easily taken in. So when he was sent the test kits, he decided to try it out. And he had tested on motor oil, on goats, on fruit, and almost all this stuff came back positive except for the motor oil. So he was saying, you know, look, this is ridiculous. He was a very smart guy. I was recommending him to be man of the year because he was showing so much intelligence. It's hardly surprising then that these monsters who have control of the entire Earth as their objective would take him out, and three of his associates, four of them, are dead in Tanzania. I'm glad you brought it up.
Yes.
There's a video about him. There's a video about him out there talking about the little experiment he ran, which is so obvious and straightforward. So you're spot on.
Yes.
Yeah, and Carrie Mullis, on, if you go on BitChute, Carrie Mullis, K-A-R-Y-M-U-L-L-I-S, the inventor of the PCR, right. he discusses, he calls Fauci a liar, and he thought Duisberg both thought that the whole HIV AIDS thing was a big scam, a money-making scam. Always recorded things there. He said the whole thing is they're probably going to introduce Ebola as a great killer, and you know, he was looking forward to more scams, you know. He didn't believe in vaccines. He said he didn't go to doctors. One of the things he's being interviewed in a anti-AIDS thing is occurred years ago of a rally on TV.
Yeah, well, Carrie Mullis kicked the bucket just before the pandemic hit,
right.
And I think it was not a coincidence.
Yeah, conveniently.
It was done in.
Not coincidence. Yeah.
Done in.
Good call. Thanks for the call.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Are we out of time? Oh my gosh.
Deanna, it's 49 minutes, so I think
we got a few more minutes. Okay, let's take John in California. John. Oh, we got a break. Okay.
Hey, John, right after the break.
All righty, we are back, and we have John in California. With a question, and our guest is Dr. James Fetzer. His website, jamesfetzer.org. Okay, John, in California?
Yeah. Hi, Deanna. Dr. Fetzer, always great to hear you're on again. A great show. I had to get off earlier, but I was listening to most. Getting back to Dr. Fauci, I understand, and I got this info through an RBN show a while back. He technically is not a doctor. He has all the education and everything, but he never got his residency. Now, if that's true, at first is why didn't he get his residency to actually become legitimately the full doctor? And then where's the outrage on this, the AMA? Are they all in cahoots? And why would they do something like that? Do you have any thoughts?
Well, that's very good. I'm looking up right now to see what I can find about Fauci's history and education. That's profoundly disturbing.
Yes.
You got the parallel with Bill Gates, who of course is not a doctor. He's not a virologist. He's not an epidemiologist. He's a computer geek who made a fortune by putting out an operating system that was defective so that he could have patches. You'd pay for it again and again and again. Let me see what we got here on Fauci. He's been given a lot of awards. There's something about him going to talk about medical high school. My goodness, let me see here. I think you're onto something because I'm having more trouble than I ought to have to find out his background in education. So I suspect you may be putting your finger on something actually very, very important.
Yes. American Medical Association is really a labor union for physicians. It was founded in 1847.
I got it on an RBN show way back, somebody's show, I'm not sure. But anyway, he has vested interest, supposedly, in a lot of these patents on these drugs and vaccines.
Yes. That's my understanding, too.
Yes.
By the way, it shows here, it says he graduated from the College of Holy Cross, and the wheel Cornell Medical College, so that suggests he actually did get a medical, but maybe didn't complete it. Will Cornell Medicine, Cornell University, looking at it, but well, you know, that's worth pursuing. That's absolutely 100% worth pursuing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, where did he get his residency? That's the important thing. Like I said, you get a degree in medicine, but you're...
Good question. Good question. And by the way, since we're coming to the conclusion of this wonderful conversation, Deanna, I'm so grateful to you for inviting me. Let me mention the book Deanna was talking about, and I suppose we didn't go to the moon either, is available at Moon Rock Books, moonrockbooks.com. And it turns out that we have published 12 books at Moon Rock Books, 6 of which have been banned by Amazon. So if you want to check it out, go to Moon Rock Books and check out not only about the moon landing, but about the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland. It's all there. The moon landing book, by the way, has many different parts you're going to find fascinating over and beyond the moon landing. A lot of great stuff there. I love the book.
Right. And my books have been banned on Amazon also. So we share commonality here.
Isn't that astounding, Deanna? In the United States of America in 2020, 2021, they're banning books. God.
Yes. Amazing.
Absolutely outrageous.
Yeah. So, well, now they're banning people. They're banning people.
Yeah,
banning books.
Yeah. Did John have a further thought, or did we cover the bases?
John, are you still there? Whoops. Oh, okay. That's it. Well, thank you, Jim. Thank you for being on the program today.
My pleasure, Deanna. My pleasure. Anytime.
It went by really fast. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Care.